It's show number 105 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. Yo, what's going on, everybody? Hopefully you all are doing well out there. Lots of things going on in the sports world. I think I'm going to put this out on a Saturday, but I think I have an assumption by the time you listen to this, football is going to be done with the week. So we're going to stray away from football until next week's show. We'll talk about some of the matchups, but hey, we'll talk a little bit here really quickly about the Giants and the Cowboys here right after I tell you what's going on, just in case you didn't read the show notes or the show title. There was a really cool blowout card thread. It's been going for a while, but I just picked it up and picked up a lot of tips and stuff, so I wanted to share them here. And I'll also, if you don't have the link to that thread or if you can't find it on their forums, I'll have a link to it in show number 105 show notes, so you can always go to sportscardradio.com and find a link to it. There's lots of information here. I'll just talk on some of the really quick points that I thought were interesting. A release day calendar. That's what I was going to talk about here really shortly. We'll talk about some of the stuff that's coming out now that we're into September and we got some releases coming out. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about retro basketball. That just came out, and I'm a proud owner of, I think, a Reggie Theus blue numbered out of 50. So we'll talk about precious metal gems. So we'll talk about the precious metal gems. We'll talk about some of the other cards in there. And I think if you listened to our show either last time or the one before that, where we had Greg from Upper Deck, where he talked, hey, it took him like 9 months, the card manufacturer, 9 months. This was the same card manufacturer that made these cards, say 10, 15, 20 years ago. And it took them 9 months to get it right. So they obviously can't perfect. Things obviously have gone in the wrong direction in terms of manufacturing cards. They had to kind of dip back into the olden days of maybe layering cardboard and layering foils and stuff like that. And hey, I think the card, at least on pictures, they look good. So we'll talk a little bit about retro basketball. I think that's about it. I don't have a whole lot else to talk about. So let's talk quickly about the Giants. I know that we are, you've guys like watch ESPN and listen to the radio and stuff, so you've heard enough about the game, but my boy David Wilson like fumbled and then like started crying, so I thought that wasn't good for his card values or his fantasy values. But hey, it's the first week. Bradshaw looked good. Bradshaw, you're not going to be able to feed him 25, 30 times a game and expect him to be healthy in week 15, 16. The head coach of the Giants knows this. They know they'll get this kid back on track. I don't think he's going to be a play in fantasy, but he might be one of those guys that if the fans get on him, or if he fumbles maybe a little bit more and maybe he's in the coach's doghouse, that's when you come in there and you value buy, because you're like, hey man, this guy's got to be better than this. I think they drafted him like in the first round, so he's got to be slightly better than this. He'll learn how to carry the ball, and most guys make these guys are in the pros for a reason. They'll make an adjustment. This is not meant to be the David Wilson hour. I have no idea why I'm like totally promoting this guy, but just to get people moving along from week one. I think everybody that listens to this show is sophisticated enough to know that there's plenty of weeks to go in the NFL, and a lot of rookies, it's very difficult to pop off in this first week. So we'll see what happens. But I thought Tony Romo looked good. Dez Bryant looked good. I think they're all getting healthy too. DeMarco Murray looks sensational. And so we'll see what happens going forward with both those teams. But fun opening week. And I thought the refs did a good job. I know there was a lot of attention on the refs. I thought the refs did good. I actually like a game where they just kind of let them play for the most part. So like that, there was no replays or anything like that. So hey, it was actually a pretty well called game. That's what I thought. Anyways, getting on to release date on the 6th, a couple days ago, Fleer Retro Basketball came out. The 11th, probably about the time a lot of you might tune in, will be Upper Deck The Cup Hockey. That's an 11-12 product. I thought the Prime Hockey from Panini was going to be one of the last products from them. I guess they have another one. Dominion Hockey is coming out here on the 26th of the end of the month. Momentum Football coming up in a few days on the 12th. Momentum Football. We got Topps Heritage Minor League Baseball. I know some people are pretty of a fans. You either love or hate that set. So that'll come out. Topps Platinum Football comes out. Leaf puts out a lot of products this month. I mean, they got golf, they got a couple different baseballs, they got some basketballs. So I don't know I'm scratching my head at some of these guys' strategies. I mean, why do you dump? Maybe they know that it's not – maybe – I don't know. Maybe they know it's not going to all sell at once, so, or maybe there's just – it's limited enough to where it's all sold out, or maybe he's pushed it back long enough. I don't know. It just seems like there were like 10 – not 10, but it seemed like at least 5 Leaf products all in 1 month. And I don't know if collectors really need that or want that. So I encourage manufacturers that listen to this, any of them, big, small, or indifferent, or ones that think about coming up with them, think about your customers. You know, like sometimes we go through months, like October looks pretty bleak right now. I know the stuff will get pushed back into October. But, you know, I don't know why September has to be so big. I don't know why we're just pumping everybody's throats in September. November will probably be relatively big. There's not a whole lot lined up right there. But, you know, I just think spread it out a little bit. We don't need 4 different baseball sets from the same company coming out in 1 month. So we'll see. That's my little side tangent there. Anyways, Panini Prestige Basketball, you know, speaking of sets, you know, everybody complains about Panini and, you know, there's no Tops of basketball and we're talking about Upper Deck basketball, but it's their first basketball set in a couple months. You know, basketball only gets released once a month, twice a month. That's why, like me, it's like easy to be a fan because you can buy Hoops for $1 and it's been a while since Hoops. It hasn't been that long since Hoops came out, but, you know, at least about a month. So now we get Prestige. It's about $4 a pack. We got to wait another month for Threads basketball to come out, you know, early next month. So I kind of like that. Whereas being like baseball and football, you've got so many choices. And even hockey with the two sports there, or two brands there, it's tough, man. You got to be like having like a doctor's salary to be able to buy all the sets. So hopefully that's where you guys are. Anyways, Triple Threads baseball is on the 19th. We got Cooperstown baseball on the 19th. We got Signature Series baseball, whatever the heck that is, on the 19th. Leaf Ultimate Golf, Panini Prominence football the 19th. Hopefully you get paid on that day. SB Authentic Golf keeps getting pushed back, but I think it's on the 25th now of the end of this month. And it looks like at the end of this month we'll have University of Alabama football from Upper Deck. All those sets typically get moved back, but it's a busy month. It may not have sounded like it right there, but it was a busy month. In terms of maybe sets that a lot of people have on their radar, Topps Update Series Baseball, I know that's relatively well collected. That comes out on the 3rd of October, and usually that's pretty firm. And another set that a lot of people really like to collect is Topps Chrome Football, and that's a little bit later this year. That's actually, according to my sources, is November 7th. So typically that's like an August-ish. We would have seen it by now or almost seen it in September, October, I think, is normally where it is, somewhere in that range. But it's actually in November, according to my sources. So wanted to throw that out there. That was the release date calendar. What else did I have on my list right here? Okay, let's go. We'll come back after the short break and we'll talk about retro. We'll combo it up. We'll talk about retro basketball. And because there's some big money cards selling in the set, especially early on, we'll see if they – I'm hoping some of them go up. I'm hoping I'm not too early to the party. But we'll talk about selling too because, like I said, there was this really cool thread on blowout cards where a lot of people that sold on eBay and like card stores and stuff chimed in. And I took a couple responses and a couple other generalizations from the thread. And I'll point those out to you right after the champion.
The sounds for the champions. Ayo, ayo, ayo. That's the sound you hear from the crowd when we come through. They dream,
ayo, ayo, ayo. We run the town here. And we are back. Time to talk about my favorite sport. And I already set up my fantasy basketball league. I'm so excited. So, and it's like a month or two away. So I know everybody's thinking about the first week of fantasy football, but my mind is already like on the whole season of basketball. So, you know, you can't really go. I play all points league. So it's like a whole season. It's not like week to week. So, yeah, your whole mind is kind of like on the whole season of basketball, like what could possibly happen. So that's what I'm thinking about. But also what I'm thinking about right now is Fleer Retro Basketball. September 6th is when it came out, and that's a long wait. I think my brother said he made this page in November of last year, so it took a while for them to come out with this set, but some of it was delayed because of the NBA lockout, and as we came to find out, some of these cards were pretty tough to make. And there's some interesting cards in here. There's these rookie sensation cards. There are some, a lot of it is sticker autographs, unfortunately. There are some on-card autographs here and there. There's some rookie cards that are like on these 86-87, I think, retro cards. Those are majority on-card. There's lots of other interesting cards in here. Those autographic cards, a lot of people remember those. Unfortunately, those aren't on signed on card. I don't know why they didn't get a lot of those on card. I think fans would have been a little bit more excited about that. But they have the different years from autographics. They have 96, 97, 97, 98, 98, 99, all the way to 99, 2000. They have the Fleer Flair Row Zero, which are numbered out of 150. I thought those were cool. The Jambalayas, I don't even know if I've seen one of those yet. Those are really, really rare cards. There's these Noise Boys cards. There's some of these inserts that were so rare back in the day that I don't even remember getting them. Intimidation Nation, I guess that came out of Fleer Premium. But they also mimicked a lot of other sets from Fleer and stuff like that. Obviously, you'll find Michael Jordan and LeBron James and stuff in here. But really, the key cards that a lot of people really look for are these precious metal gems. And they have a couple different versions this year. There's the red version, the blue version, and a green version. Usually the red and the green are what most people are familiar with. The greens are out of 10. The blues are out of 50. And the reds are at a 150. So the reds are plentiful, but don't be mistaken. They'll go for slightly to a lot more than a card at a 150, especially Michael Jordan and some of the top names. So let's take a look at what some of these cards have sold for early on. My brother's kind of trying to keep track, but a Michael Jordan red, a couple have sold, and they've sold between the $2,500 and the $3,000 $100 range. So wow, that's quite a bit. On the other end of the spectrum, you've had guys like Hal Greer sell for $13, Bill Laimbeer $12, Mark Jackson $24, Hakeem Olajuwon about $118, one sold for $89 and one sold for $147. So there's some wild swings there. You want to be careful with what side of the kind of buying action you're there on. And in terms of the blues, we noticed some of them are going for in the $20 to $25 range. And the highest one we have so far is a Grant Hill, sold for $157, and another one sold for $155. So it looks like people are paying good money for that. And there's quite a few on here. Wow, a LeBron James blue sold, I guess, for $2,500 or best offer there. That's quite a strong price. And there's been a couple green sales, $1,500 for an Hakeem Olajuwon and $201 for an Adrian Dantley. So just an Adrian Dantley card numbered out of 10. No autograph, no nothing else, $201. So you can bet you these cards are flying. So are the boxes. The boxes are selling in the $300 range, and it's not cheap. There's about, I believe, about six autographs per box. But, boy, you better hit one of the rare precious metal gems. Some of the other cards, like some of the inserts and stuff, this is really one of those sets where you're really hoping to get some of the rare inserts. The autographs are cool. Yeah, if you get a Jimmer Fredette or a Marshawn Brooks or some of these other players, it'll be great. But really what you're hoping for is one of those cards numbered out of 10, not even autographed. So interesting set. Kind of going, you know, retro is a perfect theme for this set. It does have autographs of a lot of top players and a lot of legends and stuff. But really what you're searching for the most part here is the precious metal gems and a lot of the rare inserts that they throw in here. So very cool set, very interesting, a lot of fun, I think, to collect on the single card market. For a $300 box, that's a little rich. I think you can get an inner box for whatever that is. For I think you get three autographs or something per inner box. So for $150, that's a little rich. So we'll see what happens going forward. Let me know if you get any of that product. It seems kind of interesting. I'm not going to buy anybody the box, but I might stumble onto – well, I've already stumbled onto, like I said, a Reggie Theus Blue. So I was one of the early buyers of that. And I think I got like a – somebody else like Bob McAdoo Flair out of $150 for a couple bucks or something just to combine the shipping. So, hey, you never know what you might find out there. Moving on to selling in terms of can you make – the title of this thread on Blowout Cards was can you sell on eBay for a living? And a lot of people chimed in and were like, no, I've tried it. And a lot of people that I recognize a little bit definitely chimed in and said, yes, you can make a living. You got to work very hard at it like anything else. And I think a lot of people think that there's businesses out there where you can make a lot of money quickly without really doing anything. And maybe you can. And typically those businesses are out there. But I would say almost all the time, almost 100% of the time, those businesses aren't sustainable. You could maybe do the business for 3 months and make a lot of money. But then what are you going to do for the next 30 years of your life? So because easy money is like attracting flies around like a dead carcass almost. You know, it's just something that the nature happens. There could be no flies in miles and then all of a sudden they all appear. So that's what happens when there's easy money to be made. You'll be amazed about all the people that come out of the woodwork and try to make this easy money. So there's no easy money in sports cards. And I think there were some great points in this, maybe pointing out why and then also some of the flaws that don't let people go to that next level. A lot of people sell here and there, kind of like me now, you know, just sell here and there. Who cares if you make a little money, lose a little bit of money. It's really about trying to just keep some free capital. So when sets like Freelia Retro Basketball come out, or when we have a month of September where companies come out with 10 bazillion products, even last year was kind of busy right at the end of the month, we have a little money. So some of us, a lot of us are probably like me, we're just doing it selling cards that we don't want anymore or extra ones, or we get involved in a box break and we happen to hit something good and so we decide to sell it. Those are the kind of a lot of sellers out there, but there's a lot of people. Well, I was doing it full time for a while when I was back in college and stuff, and it was paying my bills. And then when I had a store and stuff, obviously I was trying to make as much money as I could then. So yeah, you can make this a full time living. I've done it. You got to work tremendously hard for typically what's an average living. So for me, it was worth it. Looking back, I don't know if I would do it all over again. Obviously, you would do things differently as you go forward and as you learn more stuff. And that's the key, is if you're thinking about doing this business, you don't need to dive in and it's like trying to race against Michael Phelps in the Olympics. You know, if you haven't swam before, if you're not even an above average swimmer, you probably shouldn't do that. So it's just like selling. If you're trying to be Blowout Cards, or you're trying to be the next Mr. Mint or something like that, you probably shouldn't dive head first in and try to compete with them right away. You probably should try to learn from them and maybe ask them questions or ask other people questions along the way before you work up to that speed, because you're just going to get blown out. Just like if you try to race Usain Bolt or play LeBron James in basketball, you're going to get blown out. Just like if you try to sell on eBay full time and quit your job and jump into it without knowing anything, you're going to get blown out. So the key is to find threads like this and find as much information as possible. Now, some of the key information, this comes from PGH Sports Cards, eBay user PGH Sports Cards. He said, for the most part, don't rip. I mean, you can't rip. You have to be so disciplined. I remember sitting in my store and having boxes on the shelves and being like, man, I want to open a pack or do something, but you can't do it. You have to, figure out a way to take that out of your system. And for a while there, I had it out of my system to where I wasn't opening packs. Even when I was doing this website and stuff, I didn't have any interest in opening packs and keeping them because I was so immune to that, because you really have to get like that. Now I'm totally, I've worked that immunity out of my system, and I could open packs now and buy a box with the hopes to keep it. And usually in box break form, I think that's a little bit easier for me, a little bit easier way to do it. But you got to get that. You got to not want to open packs. You can't do it. So keep that in mind. He said you have to travel if you want to do it full time. And this is very interesting insight. He put out the exact states you would travel to. He'd say Eastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, for sure Ohio, I would think, West Virginia, Maryland, and VA, which is totally Virginia. Yes, there we go. My geography classes I took did pay off. So those are the states he would focus on. And Ohio just jumps off my list. I remember when I was selling cards a lot of times it went to Ohio. Basketball would either go to Ohio. Football would definitely go to Ohio too. But basketball would often go to Ohio because they had LeBron James at the time. Or it would go to like Japan or something. So basketball does great overseas. A lot of people don't realize that. Basketball does great. Hockey does great in Canada and stuff like that. So, you know, open your horizons there. But those are the states. If you were doing it at shows and you were doing a full-time – trying to make it a full-time living, you got to go east. If you're out here on the West Coast, forget about it. You got to go east. So that's some great – information. And another thing you could do, I thought here, was you could take this advice here and then take it to another level and quantize it. When you're selling stuff on eBay, just make a map or set up an Excel list or something. You can even print it out and mark it off by hand. Just mark off where you send to each state. So it's like, okay, I sent one to California today. I sent one to Pittsburgh. I sent one to, you know, you can mark it off. And then after, you know, a certain amount of time, you can look at it and say, oh, wow, I sell a ton of stuff to Miami, or I sell a ton of stuff to Pittsburgh. And then that can give you an idea too about where you better believe. That's why Topps does all the million giveaways and all that stuff. You know, you don't get a lot of mailings in the mail. You don't get mailings in the mail from them. You don't get emails from them. What they're doing, I think, for the most part, is just figuring out their distribution, because that's their whole business model, is like manufacture and then distribution, get it out there. So I think that's for the most part they're collecting that information, not to burn money and give away free cards. They're doing it to make money. So that's what you can do as well. Whenever you sell something on eBay, you can just that information is given to you right there, and you can just start marking it down, and that's a good way to do it. Another eBay seller, eBay user AuctionJMM, he says, most guys that do it full-time treat their business like it's a Fortune 500 company. I couldn't agree more. I think we said on the show a while back, the one main thing you got to do is you got to keep your stats, and you got to – even when you're early on, even when you got $3 in eBay sales and you only sell two cards a month, keep track of your stats. And I always did that. And you got to, that's how you move through the levels in terms of becoming a guy that just sells it in your basement and sells it to make money so you can buy, you know, beer on the weekend for college, to when you open a store and you move through the ranks. You got to keep track of your stats the whole way. So especially when you're little, you kind of get in the habit of it. Another point he made, even though there's very few successful case breakers, he says some do quite well busting wax. It's not nearly as consistent as buying and selling singles. And we'll talk about that here. He says it's very so if you want the consistent business, buying and selling singles. And I remember people, especially towards the end of where my shop was starting to run the end of its life right in 2008, which I'm reading books about now. I totally realized why people didn't have money, and why a lot of people were – I was getting more phone calls and more people coming in to try to sell me things. And maybe if I, at the time, I had more energy and more capital, I guess, I could have done a pawn shop or done something like that, because I think that would have been the perfect business at the time if you had enough capital to buy the items and turnaround time and stuff like that. But that's where you get the cheapest stuff, is from people that are desperate to sell, that need money. You find people come through the door with all kinds of stuff, and you'd be amazed if you offer them $5, kind of lowball them $5, and then they're like, okay. And they don't even like counter with a $20 or with anything. They just snap accept. So, you know, those are the kind of buyers you want to get in front of. It's not very easy. Some of the ways I thought of the ways you can do that were, you could even put an ad in Beckett, like you put like a business card, I'm buying, blah, blah, blah. But typically there you're going to get educated customers, and you're going to get people that just looked at Beckett and looked at those values, and they're going to be like, well, hey, I got this card in Beckett. The low value is 15. Can you take 5? You need to get it even cheaper than that. You need to be getting the stuff pennies on the dollar. And the way you do that is by getting out on Craigslist, doing that kind of like even finding storage bins. I've noticed I've even seen ads on my Craigslist where guys that buy the storage auctions that are full with cards, then they put them on Craigslist. Hey, I got all these boxes of cards, you know, from a storage auction. I'm looking for 150. And he typically hasn't gone through them, or maybe he has had somebody gone through them and they've given him an estimate on it. So those are the kind of buys you want to buy in bulk. You want to buy in – there's better ways to buy. You know, I never really went to – other than – one of the best ways to buy is by having a card shop or a present. You could even do an office building. I don't know how safe it would be in my – I wouldn't do it in my town. But in safer towns where you haven't had – I think we're up to our 50th murder here in Stockton, and there's 52 weeks in a year, so you can do the math. And we're a city of about 200-something thousand people, so you can do the math there that there's something off. But anyways, that's why I wouldn't do it in my city. But if you're in a safer area or like a less crazy area, you could certainly have some kind of presence where you may be able to get office space for – you get office space in my town for nothing. You could get some kind of office and put an ad in the phone book. That's where I was getting a ton of calls. But obviously all that requires capital. So an ad in the phone book is not cheap, even just a small one. And, having office space and all that stuff is not cheap. So in order to acquire cards, sometimes it takes a lot of – you got to travel. You got to have connections. You got to be calling around and stuff like that. And you got to have cash. And that's what the next guy brings up, eBay user – New Heart Cards, NEU Heart Cards. He said he used to be a financial advisor for 15 years. And he said some of the things that he's noticed in this business is that you have to have capital. And so many, quote, players in the card trade have very little actual bankroll. And there's nothing that could be, more true there. And especially if you watch like poker on TV and you see these guys betting like million, even in the cash games, they'll have like $1 million in front of them. That guy's probably his net worth is in negative. He just happens to have people that let him borrow money, or it's sponsor money, or it's, you know, we've learned that even some of it was stolen money, even recently as in the last couple of years. It was basically stolen money some of them were playing with. So, and it goes in poker. The guys that roll around like they're millions of dollars aren't. And you could better believe some of these, quote, big-time sellers that are out there, you know, that look like they're big-time sellers, they either have full-time jobs, or maybe they have money from something else, or maybe a spouse that makes money, a lot of money, or they're running on the skin of their teeth, because it is very – even when you – typically in this business, when you get a lot – it is very inconsistent. It's very hard to find. Sometimes you'll find those great buys, and you'll run them out on eBay, and you'll make a lot of profit margin. And then it's over, and then you got to go find another guy that wants to sell you cards cheap, and it's not always easy. So, he says this coming from a New Heart Cards, understand the time value of money. I'd rather sell a 5K deal in one day than sell a lot of 6K over 3 months. So understand the value of money. I would maybe argue there if you're selling the exact same thing. Like I used to sell things on eBay that were the exact same thing. So all you had to do was create one thing and then relist it. And then if you have a post office nearby, especially out here where I live, or you, if you're shipping out enough, the postman will come to your door and just pick up your stuff. So every time he comes to your house or wherever you are, he'll just wait and just – he'll know you drop stuff off to him every day. And, you know, you just got to make friends with your postman. I know I made friends with every – they all knew me, and I would talk to them and I would drop things off. They would knock on the door. Sometimes they wouldn't have anything, and I would give them a glass of water or something. You know what I mean? So those are the kind of things – you need to network a little bit, but I would argue with them there a little bit. I think if you're selling 6,000 different things where you had to list each one and package it all up differently and have different packaging, yes, I would totally agree with that. But if it's the exact same thing and you're not going to have any competition, or you know your competition is going to have to price it exactly the same, I would argue that, you know, don't shy away from the thing that gives you consistent cash flow over a period of months, because that's sometimes often what you need. Although, also keep in mind, sometimes those kind of deals keep your cash tied up. So if a good deal comes up, all of a sudden you have all your money tied up in this base card that sells every, you know, couple weeks. Those are the kind of things you want to think about. The other thing New Art Card says is have business sets, understand debits and credits and expense income. Yes, there's a difference between sales and profits. I think a lot of people, you know, that goes out of their mind. They think, oh yes, I sold something on eBay for $50. Well, yeah, eBay's going to take 10%, and then PayPal's going to take 10%. So that 50 is now 40. So those are the kind of things you want to think about. The last thing he says, know your business. If you're a lawyer or doctor or car salesman, you know your market. There's no difference in the world of cards. If you want to be a big player in cards, you need to know them like they're everything to you. That's what you wake up in the morning and you got to go find out all the new information on cards that you don't already know. The last thing is kind of like a little off topic, and I'll talk about a personal experience here, is Blank Towels. eBay user Blank Towels says, I sell mostly board games, toys, and kids that I purchase at thrift stores. And I know I've said that on the show, and I did really well with that with designer jeans for a while. Got to be careful there because there's a lot of fake ones out there, so you could be stuck with – I mean, you're only paying like $3 for the jeans, and thrift stores have gotten more savvy now. They start to look for those kind of things, but I remember right in the beginning, you could go to a thrift store and find $200 pair of jeans all day long in certain markets. You can't go to – you know, certain market out here in California, there's certain markets where, yes, a lady will wear jeans, pay $200 for a pair of jeans, not like it, and then just give it away because she doesn't want the jeans. It made something look not bad, or they didn't fit or whatever, and she'll just donate them. So that happens out here. So you'll find a crispy pair of Seven of Mankind, or I've saw some other pretty crazy brands that I sold for good money. So you could go to a thrift store and find things like that. If you're thrifty about restoring things, sometimes you can find things there that are broken or not working, and you can sand them up or paint them or whatever, and you can make a little money doing that. I also had a roommate that would do that. He would get like scrap wood and scrap items, and he would like make benches out of them. He'd make bird cages and stuff like that, and it looked – didn't look perfect, you know. It didn't look like a perfect bench. But it looked old. It looked like rustic. And so he had a really good market for that. So that's another thing if you're handy. Throwing out really random ideas here. But another thing is, on Check Out My Cards, they're going to start accepting like comic books. They're going to start accepting lots of like items, like complete sets. I think they're going to be collecting autographs and all kinds of stuff. They're not exactly sure when they're going to roll that out. But that's why they're kind of trying to change their image to COMC or COMC or something like that. But comic books is one thing. I go up to there's this library store up the street that sells books for sale, and they sometimes have comic books in there for 25 cents. I've found Spider-Mans that are like 10 years old, 15 years old, in the plastic and stuff. And so you can find deals like that everywhere, and buy and sell different things. I'm just kind of keeping them for now, but I'm probably going to send them in and see if I can't sell them. Who knows if I'll make any money off them, but I thought that anytime you can find a good deal, you can make money. If you're trying to do it full time, you need to be very serious about it, not make frivolous purchases, and know your business and know exactly what you're doing. So I think there's And remember that very few people have a bankroll. So the more money you can save up and be very diligent about saving your money and keeping a certain amount of cash on hand is very critical. And the way you do that is by keeping your expenses low. And so we've talked a lot about that on the show before, but we'll talk about it more on future shows. I kind of want to wrap this up here. I don't want it to go too long. I've been getting some positive feedback on the relatively shorter shows, which are around 30, 40 minutes. So want to keep it right around that. We'll come back again because we've got more shows to touch on. We got more stuff to talk about next week. I already talked about what was coming very shortly next. We got Momentum Football. We got Heritage Minor League Baseball. We got Topps Platinum Football. We got other sets. We got Prestige Basketball. You know, we'll talk about that in about a week or so. We've got a lot of things to talk about. Hopefully you guys have a lot of smack talk to talk about in your fantasy leagues, and hopefully you've been picking up some good cards wherever you purchase them. Good luck with your collections. Thanks for tuning in. We are out of here.